Good morning. Moving day. I know that's probably something that's familiar for a lot of us. You know, and I was thinking about moving. I know we've done a lot, our share of moving over the years. When I was growing up, we've done our share of moving. And I was thinking about our family history, because that's something that we've kind of taken interest in recently. Just recently got a subscription to that Ancestry.com, and it's amazing things that you can find out on there. But I remember a few years ago, we were going back through our own family history, and we realized as our family came from Sweden that when they came to the States, they would settle in a particular place. In fact, the guy that wrote our family history, large part of it, used that word that Gus Tellgren settled in Antelope County and Paul Tellgren settled in Oakdale, Nebraska. And when it came to my dad's generation, they still used the word settled. And as I think about all the places that we lived growing up, it occurred to me that nobody in my dad's generation forward settled anywhere. In fact, I was counting all the addresses and cities we lived in when I was growing up. From the time I was born to the time I graduated from high school, we lived in 6 cities and had 9 different addresses. And in the 23 years of marriage, we've lived in 6 different cities with 14 different addresses. Now, I don't know if you've seen those statistics about the percentage of a town that moves every 5 years. I don't know what the statistic was. I remember seeing it years ago. But instead of digging for that statistic, let me just do this instead. I want you to think about how many cities that you've lived in over your life, okay? Think about that. You got that number in your head? All right. How many of you, just raise your hand, have lived in one city your entire life? Okay. You're just getting started. How many of you lived in 2 cities your entire life? 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, starting to see more hands now. 7, 8. Yeah. 9. How many of you lived over 10 cities your entire life? Okay, there's still several hands. We are nowadays a people that are on the move, and part of our adventure in life involves moving to a new place and experiencing all the things that a new place has to offer. And I was thinking about people in Scripture that made moves in their life, and that's what I want to focus on this morning. I don't remember why I put that up there. We are a people on the move, okay? But we're going to look at some people that moved in Scripture and look at some of the insights that we have about moving from Scripture. And first, we're going to look at Abraham, moving day for Abraham, and to begin with Genesis, where that's where actually the story begins of Abraham. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Okay, so they lived far away. In ancient times, this would have been like in a completely different world. And God tells Abram, he was living in a city called Ur, and God tells Abram, it's time to move. Now, I don't know if you've ever read anything about Ur, but they have found it, and archaeologists have been excavating the city. And what they found is that from an ancient perspective, Ur was a very sophisticated city, a very modern city. They had well-lit streets. It had a great temple in the middle of it. It was very wealthy and very rich. And get this, they even had running water in individual homes. Can you imagine living in ancient times and being able to have running water in individual homes? And so this is a very modern city. And God says, I want you to move someplace else. And he doesn't describe it. Abram probably doesn't know anything about it. It's just described as a land that I will show you. You know, it's kind of like getting orders in the military. You know, you get your orders, and maybe it's a place that you've never been to before, and you start asking around, what is it like to this place that I'm going to? And you get those orders, and it says Minot, and you thought, oh, where's Minot? You never heard of Minot before. If you've never heard of Minot, it's way up in North Dakota. And they used to say, why not Minot? And freezing's the reason, because it gets really cold there in the wintertime. But Abram knows nothing about where he's going. It's probably not as sophisticated as Ur. In fact, for the rest of his life, he no longer lives in a house. For the rest of his life, he goes about about as a nomad living in tents. And he had many, many addresses over his lifetime. You ever think they thought about back home where they came from back in the city of Ur? Maybe when they had to dig a new well. Maybe when the land dried up and they had to move over the next hill and settle there for a while. Or maybe when they had to fight dangerous bandits. You think they ever thought about the place where they came from, the sophisticated city of Ur? In a lot of ways, this was probably a huge step down for Abraham. So what possesses people to leave their present life, to leave the familiarity of their present life and go to the unknown? And you know, I was thinking, oh, that's, by the way, is the city, what the artist's depiction of the city of Ur, to the land which I will show you. What possesses a people to move? I was thinking about my own ancestors and the move that they made. And that's an actual picture of my great-great-grandfather there at the top. And they moved from Sweden to this familiarity and security of a life that they'd known for generations. And they came here to a place that was basically unknown to them. And what they were focused on was not the danger. What they're focused on was the opportunity for a better life. And they built a home and a legacy that has lasted for generations. They're looking forward to a new home. And so they didn't go back even when things got rough. They stayed. And besides, moving is always an adventure. There's new challenges. And you know, it's the same way it was with Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Okay, God promised him a new home, and that's what he was looking forward to. And so he didn't mind living as a nomad in tents. He didn't mind living in temporary quarters. Besides, it was all an adventure. And the one constant he had in his life from one day to the next was that God was with him, and he walked with God. Every new day is a new adventure. Moving on to new places and new challenges. And like Abraham, some of us have had many addresses over our lifetime. But the one constant in our life is that we walk with God from day to day. In fact, James chapter 2 and verse 23 says, because he was faithful and walked with God, he was called a friend, the friend of God. So no matter where you move, God is with you and we walk with God. So that's Abraham. You know, I could have gone to a lot of other people. I was thinking, who else in Scripture moved from place to place and maybe had a really big move? You think of anyone else? Yeah, I mean, I could have probably talked about David, could have talked about Moses, could have talked about, but what about Jesus? I'm going to talk about Jesus moving, and maybe we'll think about the time that he left Israel with his family and moved to Egypt, but I'm talking about the really big move. The Bible tells us that Jesus existed before he was born because Jesus is God. You remember all those scriptures that talk about how Jesus is God? Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Or what about John chapter 10 and verse 30, where Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Or Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, where Jesus forgave sins, demonstrating that he was God because only God can forgive sins. Colossians chapter 1 says that by him all things were created. But the passage that most of us think of is this one right here from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus was there with God. He was God. He created all things with God from the very beginning. And the passage says the Word, talking about Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testified about him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. He dwelt among us. And here's something that's interesting. I don't know if when you've been reading through this in your Bible, if there's a footnote on that word dwelt. You know, that word dwelt literally means he lived in a tent among us. He tented or tabernacled among us. Now, that's a very, this gives us a very vivid word picture. Has anyone ever lived in a tent before? Okay, when you live in a tent, you probably don't live there anymore. It's a temporary place. And when you pitch a tent, you only intend on staying there for a set amount of time, and you can go ahead and pull up stakes and move to someplace else. And that's basically what Jesus did. He came from heaven to earth, but this world was not his home. He had a task to perform, a redemptive purpose to fulfill, and he did that when he came from heaven to earth. He did that when he taught us the way to God. He did that when he died on the cross for our sins, and he did that when he rose from the grave. And when he was finished, he went back and went to the Father and returned home. Imagine what that must have been like. Years ago, I read an article in a church bulletin when we lived in Searcy. Jonna Duke, never met her before, but I read her article. And she talked about a mission experience where she went to some other part of the world, and she was there to do missions. And the first night that she tried to get some sleep, she said she couldn't sleep because it was so hot and it was so humid and mosquitoes were flying around, and this was a very strange place. They spoke a different language, and she could hear not too far away the drums beating, and she said it sounded like the natives were getting restless and her heart was beating, was kind of keeping pace with the drums. And in her mind, as she was sitting there with all of this uncertainty and all of this strangeness, she wondered, I wonder if it was like this in any way when Jesus came from heaven to earth in order to minister to us. Jesus was willing to make the trip. We can only imagine just what kind of distance that was for him to come from heaven to earth and to redeem us and to tent among us. He came from heaven to earth, and then he died on the cross. He was buried and rose from the grave. In fact, we have a song that has that message. We all know this song, right? Let's go ahead and sing it. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Moving day for Jesus was a temporary journey to the earth and a journey home. His time on earth was short and brief. In fact, he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And his life ended on this earth not in death, but in resurrection and victory over sin and victory over death and ascension back to the Father. And Jesus fulfilled his redemptive purpose during his short time here. And as we follow in his footsteps, we also fulfill his redemptive purpose. You know, the motto that we have on our bulletin, that we are a Christ-centered family, learning, caring, and sharing, is an attempt for us to express what we're trying to do as we follow the footsteps of Christ. That's why we support missions. That's why we support benevolent efforts, relief efforts, evangelism, and even our own food pantry in trying to follow the steps of Christ. And that brings us to our final point. Moving day for us. There will come a final moving day for us. Look at this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by sight, or by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. So this says that even on this earth, we ourselves are also tenting on this earth. And it says that as we're on this earth, we groan. Now, how many of you can relate to that? Sometimes that's a sound we make when we first roll out of bed in the morning, right? Not only do we groan, but sometimes our joints groan and other parts of our bodies groan as well. And it says we're looking forward to something much more permanent than this tent that we live in now. Because tents get old, right? Tents get old and they wear out, they fall apart, and you can try and patch them back together, but much as you try to patch them back up, they're still a temporary structure. I remember years ago, we slept in a tent in the Black Hills before. I don't know if you've ever been in the Black Hills, but it gets very windy. And I remember in the middle of the night, the wind kept blowing and whipping at us, and I kept having to get back up and go outside and pound those stakes back down into the ground. Got up the following morning, and our neighbor down the hill, their tent actually had blown away. And that's what happens. Because it is a temporary structure. We cannot stay and live in a tent because it doesn't last forever. There was a man years ago by the name of Tillett S. Tedley. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of him before, but if you look at the author of some of the songs that we sing, there are some of the songs right there that he wrote. We may never have heard of him before, but I'm sure we have heard and sung some of the songs that he wrote. Well, he was born in 1885, died in 1987. 1885 to 1987. So he died very young at the age of 102. But he realized that just how temporary this life was. One day, way back in 1932, he visited the old home place where he grew up. And he had a very vivid memory of it in his mind, the way the house looked, the barn looked, and the trees and everything. And when he got there, he hardly recognized the place because some of the trees were dead, the barn was falling down, the house was falling in, and it was nothing like what he remembered. And so he went and took out his Bible and opened it to the blank page in the back. He sat down under a tree and he wrote these words, "Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me." This became a song that many of us have sung in the songbook, and this song has helped thousands of worshipers to put things in this life into perspective and to realize that the eternal was more important than the temporary on this earth. Let's go ahead and sing this song. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world with its sorrows, when in that home o'er the sea millions are singing no wonderful story? Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. All right. Someday, we're going to go ahead and pull up stakes, and we're also going to move on as well. The Bible is a book of hope, and hope means that we're always looking forward and we're not stuck in the past. You know, there's a proverb in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says, "Do not say, why is it that the former days are better than these? Because it is not from wisdom that you speak in this way." Why is it that the former days are better than these? It's not from wisdom if you speak that way. Because the Bible tells us that our best days are still ahead. Look at this passage. Hebrews chapter 11 says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country from which they went out, see that? Why is it the former days are better than these? That's not what we're doing. If they're seeking a country from that which they went out, they would have an opportunity to return. In other words, my heart is still back in Ur. You know, Abraham could have said that, right? My heart's still back in Ur. And if he was stuck back there, he would have gone back. But not. But he didn't do that. He was looking forward. And we're looking forward to the best days ahead. That's why Paul says, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so we don't look to settle down and make permanent homes here on this earth. We are a people on the move. And when the time comes to make that move, when the call comes, the question is, will you be ready? The only thing that stands between you and your permanent home is sin. And the only solution to sin is Jesus Christ. That's why He died on the cross for our sins. That's why He rose from the grave. And if you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and you believe that He rose from the grave, and you're ready to let Him rule your life, you're ready to let Him call the shots in your life, you're ready to, the Bible word is to repent and devote yourself to Him and accept Him as your Lord, then you're ready to go down to the water and be baptized and become a child of God. And when you do that, you will be ready when the orders come to move. In the meantime, remember, like the song says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. We're tenting here, we're serving His purposes while we're here, and we're only here temporarily. And in the meantime, we care for one another, we care for others, we share with one another, and we share with others, and we support one another, and we try to share the good news of Jesus Christ as best as we can. We're going to go ahead and sing a song this morning. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, then we invite you to come up to the front as we stand and sing.